And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole." Amen. There were 10 lepers here that came with great need of Jesus. Came with a great issue, a disease, a problem. Something that they could not change on their own. Not a thing in the world could they have done in that day and time for any of it to have ever been removed from them. Nothing of their self could they have spent, could they have done in their own efforts. Would they have ever saw the move that they were in need of come to pass? Are you with me tonight? Many times we get discouraged. Many times we lose our ability to continually trust God with everything that we have in need of before Him. In church tonight, I stand as somebody alongside you that though we go through singing and worshiping and praising God, in my heart there are things that I am in need of that not in my control can I do. And sometimes I've tried to sing all that I can, and yet I still don't see it come. And I'll preach all that I can, but I'm still waiting on that move. But my heart, oh, was lifted up as God brought something out of this word to me. There were 10 that came in great need. And I want you to know that every single one of them were healed. And praise God that Christ alone in that time was enough for them. That when He had compassion and His word was spoke over it, that it began to change. Can we preach for a minute? Hallelujah. We can say all that we want to over a problem, and we can talk about how we think it will come out to be, and we can talk about it and analyze and overthink it, but the only way that we will see change in our lives and change in our problems is when we let Jesus Christ speak the word. It may not be a word that we like or appreciate, but when the word of God and Jesus Christ speaks through His people, things begin to happen. They all stood in great need. How many of us in here tonight are in great need? Just show your honesty by lifting up your hands tonight. Let somebody else see your hand up in the air. Wave and let somebody know, hey, I'm in here tonight. And I need to move from God. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus. There were many that came before Christ, and each and every time there was something within Christ that began to kick in for the leper, and it was the compassion that He had for their need. And my heart doth rejoice that in times when we are not in control, that when we petition our need before God, that His love and compassion begins to kick back in on our lives. Thank God tonight that we serve a healing God. Thank God tonight that we serve a delivering God. Thank God tonight that we don't serve a God that's dead. Thank God tonight that He still sends the Word of God, pure and unadulterated, piercing even unto the heart, that it would cut asunder. I'm not here to play with you tonight, but I'm here to remind you that Jesus must be first, and He must be Lord of your life. And He must be above all things. And you must put everything else that would trouble you aside to get a hold of the mountain and begin to see it moved. The one thing that the one that turned back to Christ had that the other ones lacked was faith. He spoke unto that leper and said, "Thy faith had made thee whole." Let me ask a question tonight. Were not all 10 people cleansed in that hour? Absolutely. All 10 of them were healed. They received the 10.
touch from Christ as it was given by God. But the one thing that differed the nine from the one is that the one had faith and the humility to be able to turn back and to give God the glory. And Christ giving confirmation to this man's humility said, "Thy faith had made thee whole." Church, get a hold of this tonight, and we can sit down early. I'm telling you, if we would just learn, oh, to have some faith, oh, and not go back out into the world, but to turn and give God glory when He moves for us. We pray continually over our needs and receive the blessing, yet you won't find very many people that will return to God and give Him praise for what He does. If He woke you up this morning, then you got a reason to turn and give Him praise. If He got you through the day, then it's enough to turn and give God praise. You might be waiting for somebody or to get a hold of you and rock your boat, but if He blessed you, He gave you the faith or to overcome every devil, every demon, every person, every enemy, every adversity, every disease, every form of trouble that you ever had.
But where were the nine, church? The first one that turned back to Christ, the one out of the ten, was a Samaritan. A Samaritan, not used to the style of worship of the Jews, didn't know the formality and traditions of the law, hadn't been caught up in people getting mad at each other. "Well, brother, you didn't participate in sacraments, so you must not be of our people." Bickering, arguing with each other over who had the fanciest robe, who could do the ceremony the best, family lineage and tradition. This man didn't know any of that. All he knew was that something had happened, and he knew it wasn't of him, and he didn't know where else to take it. When God blesses you, it's great to tell people of what God did, but it's the most important thing to remember to turn back, oh, to where the Lord God is and give Him glory. If everybody in here tonight stood up and gave God glory, you'd see a church service that you were wanting to come to. If everybody got up in this place and just praised God just for His goodness, we'd see church come alive. You might be waiting for preacher to get you excited, but you're missing it tonight. It's in what God's already done. It's what in God's already blessed you with. Don't wait on me to know that you're blessed, but know that it's what He's already done for you that gives you reason. Who we know is just about to tear our churches apart, or who we think's got it is going to tear our churches apart, and waiting on somebody else to get in the door and to preach it, and keeping our seat till we hear our preacher, is going to tear us apart. Hallelujah. The only way a house will stand is if it stands upon the rock. The only way that a house will stand is if it stands upon the rock. The greatest foundation that you'll ever stand on is the one that brought you life when you didn't have it. The greatest foundation that I've ever found that I'm standing is the Word of God that saw past my faults. Times I feel like the Samaritan. I didn't know how to praise God. I'd heard people do it. I didn't know what to do. All that I could do when God delivered me was just to lift up my hands and praise Him. Every time that we have to turn back, it's not going to be easy. And let me remind us about something. When you talk about the nine Jews that went on to the priest, Christ was speaking about where are the nine, because there was an absence of faith. And in the day we're living in, if I've ever seen and felt an absence of faith, you would be scared to know that sometimes that you would find more faith on the street than you would find in the pew, that you would find more faith with a stranger than you will with those that you know. Well, when you get comfortable doing something 20, 30 years and don't ever allow yourself to be humbled and to have a spirit of humility, you lose the real value of worship is. There's no more painful of an experience in trying to worship when you're not humble. You're just pushing against a wall. Nothing's going to be moving. Your hands will be in the air. But when our heart's already predetermined with no
faith in it. Hallelujah. The Bible refers to that as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And I've told God, help me to only make noise if it's going to be in faith. Help me to only preach if I'm going to preach in faith. I'm preaching to my mountains tonight. And I say, devil, you have no hold on me. And you got to flee in the name of Jesus. I'm preaching a disease tonight. And I say, I curse every disease in this church right now. Curse every disease that's on our families and loved ones. Oh, I bless my enemies tonight. Man, I feel the Lord. I could just dance. You're going to have to forgive me. I've got to praise Him. I've got to turn back tonight. I'm believing in faith that what God has in store is going to be more than I could imagine. If somebody got a hold of that tonight, you can have church for yourself. No one turned back save the stranger, or except this one. You will seldom find people that say they have faith that possess faith. Some of the greatest, most inspirational speeches I ever heard were meaningful in their words, but did not grab a hold. Because when you're discerning in somebody, what you're looking for is faith. What you're looking for is love that they have. I would love to assume that when tomorrow came, that everything would be okay. And I would love just to lay down in myself and know that whatever comes, I'm going to be strong enough. But I've woke up too many mornings and wasn't ready. And I went through too many nights, long nights, and wasn't ready. Oh, I'm excited to report to you that every time that I believe God, it causes my suffering to turn to humbleness, and I finally have a reason to praise Him. The greatest thing that you can have is not your talent. You can hide a lot behind talent. Talent will get you a little bit of the way, but you won't come through. Every time that I pray, God shows me that we can see so much more come to pass if we would just begin to believe what we say that we do. If you were already locked into faith, there would be nothing that would keep you from singing under the anointing. Nothing. Everybody could be throwing stones at you, and you would still sing. And everybody would tell you they don't see hope. But in what we possess is far greater. They may curse us. They may persecute us. They may speak ill against us. But I want you to know that through all of it, by faith, we're made whole. Oh, if we get a hold of it tonight and be faithful over a few things, we would begin to see dominion over many. There's some of us tonight that have been just right on the brink of falling into a depression. And when I was seeking God for a word, He opened up my heart and let me see how many people are just discouraged from the lack of what they feel in church and from the lack of what they're getting out of what they're trying to put in. But I want you to know that there will be times when it's hard to be faithful. But that is the only thing that we have to do to begin the rise out of a trial, is to have faith. It's not in how well we present our worship and how well that we preach that will cause you to come alive. When we dismiss tonight, everybody's going to go home. Some of us may turn on the television. Some of us may use our phones. Some of us may log on to the internet. Be just searching. Can't find a channel that satisfies. Can't find anything to do that covers how we feel and how empty that we feel. Tormented by the voices that would cause us to be pulled away from the will of God. Not in control. Not able to do it on our own. But I want you to know that if you're in this place and you're hearing this word and this is for you,
that Christ's compassion and God's compassion for you is here tonight. It always is. It goes with you. It's all about you. But the one thing that causes this to come alive is the faith that you have inside of you. Not the faith that I could possess. My faith only comes powerful to you if you have faith and agree with me. My faith praying over you, without you believing yourself, we will not see life spring up in you. But as we both believe in faith, and as we both seek God together in agreement by the Spirit, you see a church begin to rise up in the midst of tragedy. And you see people begin to be whole when everybody would call them diseased, lost, uncleansable. In Luke chapter 7, turn your Bibles there. I want you to read this. Chapter 7, verse 2. In verse 2 it says, "And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews." And I just want to add something right there. It wasn't just any Jew, but it was the chief elders, those that knew it best, the ones that were, sort of had a respect among the others. He sent for the best that he could find, the centurion did, because of his love that he had for his servant, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you, but saying a word, my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have found not so great faith, no, not in Israel." And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole from his sickness. No other place that you see a mention of Jesus Christ giving compliments to faith than in this passage that you begin to read. And this came from a centurion who was a Gentile. And again, without the traditions and the hubbub of church and everything that followed, the this, that, and this that you have to do in order to be a Jew, he felt unworthy to even have Jesus coming under his roof. And he felt unworthy even to come into his presence. And when I read that, it speaks to me and reminds me that there is something, Julie, about humility that matters. There's something about being humble that really brings faith to life. A humble heart, a meek heart, the Bible says, shall inherit the earth. A humble heart begins to bring favor over you. Because your countenance, hear this, your countenance, though afflicted, shows that you're satisfied. Though afflicted, still knowing that if Jesus would speak a word over my loved one, that he would be made whole. We have people out here that know of Jesus, and they know of church. It broadcasted all over TV and what the meaning of what church is, and if somebody watched it enough, they would understand what the traditions of Christianity is. But the one thing that we're lacking a lot of is humility. A humble spirit. A humble heart. When you find yourself trying to defend your problem, you're not allowing yourself to be meek in suffering. And in fact, our pride will begin to swell up in as much as we reject even what we know of what it means to come to church. And we reject everything that we know
that would bring us life. And I've never seen it like this in the day that we live in. But you are hard-pressed to find somebody legitimately humble that will put themselves aside at the expense of somebody else. We drive by each other when we're broke down. We'll pass each other up in when somebody's at the altar. We'll sing right over somebody when they're in great need, and our hearts never lock in to where God is wanting us to be at. And sometimes I wish more than anything that I could rewind the clock and go back to nights where I saw somebody that needed me to be more than just in my pride. I wish I could go back, brother, and go back to times when I've seen people suffering, that I would have brought them more than just telling them about what the Bible says. But it's about something that's in you that will bring life to other people. And you may not have read the Bible cover to cover, and you may not even have the ability to read, but the same spirit that's in somebody that can read is the same spirit that it comes to a child when it accepts Christ in their life. It's the same spirit that we're going to have to present as a body that will not only bring churches back to life in worship and in praise, but to let other people see something that really shows meaningful faith. Something that's alive goes a lot further than something that's dead. Put me somebody that's alive at the starting gate and bring me a dead body next to it, and you tell me tonight who's going to win. If you are alive in Christ, then there is hope for you, and there is a present hope for tomorrow. And if you would just give up and let God humble you, you would begin to see your faith come alive in a way that it never has before. I want to share this testimony, and I'll get out of your way. Picture a place with me tonight that the walls are dirty, dim light bulb, a room where the doors have been removed and the blanket's just hanging up, a place that could have had rats running all through it, up and down and around. Picture somebody sitting there tonight that was high as they could be, continually putting stuff in their system, ready to die. That's not a very pretty picture. It's not something that, when I think about it, that causes me to see any hope there. That same person that was in that mess had a night that, though the drugs did all that they could to cause me not to realize what was going on, I want to just testify about something I've never said before. There was a night where I felt my heart beating funny, and I knew that that was my night. I knew that it was time to go. I felt that everything that I had partaken of in my system was about to overwhelm me. And all the while, through the past 2 to 3 months, my wife had prayed for me continually and had fasted. And she had got her family together just to get together and to pray often. And I remember one night, and I don't know if I've ever told him this, but I remember one night when I felt like I was dying. I felt my breath just beginning to slow down. And if you've not been there, I pray that you never get in that place. And I remember when I was sitting there that night, and I said, God, I don't want to leave this world. I don't know what else to do. I can't do this anymore. I don't recall going to sleep. When I opened my eyes the next day, I received a call asking me if I would come and have prayer. All the times before I'd been asked, I'd said no, no, no. Rejected all the while, not knowing what was in store for me. One afternoon on a random day that I cannot recall, I remember showing up, hadn't bathed for days, hadn't shaved for weeks, as rough and as low as you can imagine somebody to be. And all of a sudden, as they stood around me and began to pray, my heart, it broke. And I, for the first time in a long time, felt God touch me. I didn't know whether to shout. I didn't know whether to cry. I didn't know whether to run. I didn't know what to do. And I was so desperate to be free, and I felt God's touch. And the very moment I knew that I felt His touch, I said, God, if I have to crawl, God, if I don't ever get back what I've lost, it doesn't matter. Man, it's hard to talk about. But I remember the very moment when I felt something, and yes, it is a feeling, when I felt something lift from me. If you can imagine being pressed under weight for a long period of time and all of a sudden you feel it come off of you. I can't hardly keep myself sitting here.
I remember my voice just opened up and said, God, I praise you. And tongues came to me like a fire. There wasn't anything I could do. Power of God came down. It wasn't something I had to debate, something I had to wonder, well, Lord, I'll seek you for it. But in that moment in time with the faith came in line around me and I believed, oh, the fire hit my spirit. It was the faith that somebody prayed for me, and if all of a sudden brought life where the... My God, if we just learn to hear God's word and let it come alive, if you learn to let God speak to your trouble and let it go, you know what it feels like to be free.
Some of you that's been here a while, remember Sister Juanita? She raised money for this church. Never anybody I ever found that would look at me and not change their countenance based on what I've done. She loved me in trouble, and she loved me in good times. And I remember the look on her face when she saw the glow of the Holy Ghost over me. She had dreamed dreams that my time was coming. Her heart was concerned. And let me tell you, church, at the time, we didn't have any relation when she was concerned for me. Hadn't talked to my family about everything I'd done. Didn't call my friends and get an exact list of all my mistakes. But she prayed for somebody that wasn't her own and had true humility. I remember the day that she made it to our wedding. She got there in a wheelchair, and I know she wasn't feeling up to it, and she got there. And I remember Angela turning around and giving her a hug. I knew what it meant. I could imagine that same hug sounded just like Paul and Silas in jail. I will give honor where it is due, and I honor everybody that's ever had faith for me. But tonight we've got to realize how powerful it is and how powerful we can be if we rise up every day and just call out on God faithfully. And you'd be amazed what kind of life that you would begin to have if you just joined hands with somebody praying. Hallelujah. You might not feel it when you start, but I guarantee you if you praise God enough, you'll begin to feel something. I often wondered in the days and weeks ahead of that moment what it was that God wanted me to do. And though my story won't be wrote in the King James Version of the Bible, and it may not ever be recorded on paper for somebody to recall, but I want you to know it was the same God that brought all the evil spirits out of Legion. It's the same God that had compassion on the widow's young son. Same compassion is there for all of your loved ones. And if I could say anything to you tonight just to encourage you, it would be to be faithful today. For somebody needs you tomorrow. Serve God in humility and give yourself on the behalf of somebody else and see God move. Please don't depend on a church to keep you alive, because you'll come in here one day greatly disappointed and wonder what in the world happened. There are saints of God that have gone and been with the Lord probably 50 years now that I can imagine if they were able to come up out of the grave and they saw where we were today, there would be some that would simply have to say, what's the matter with you? Somebody that's been through some things, has Christ walked in there, spoke to them this, where is your faith? Church, where is your substance of things hoped for? Some of us may be in a place where we've just doubted ourselves to death. But I challenge you to let God have something in faith tonight. Give God something. And as your days continue, pray every day, humble, in humility, and you'd be surprised how much quicker things will begin to happen. There were people that came to Jesus, just said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I know that I would be made whole. It just starts with a thought, but it's powerful in how you think. I'm telling you, the devil makes it feel really good when you just doubt all the time. It empowers you to not have to do anything. You've got every excuse for everything that you should be doing, and instead you do the things that God would never have you doing.
It's so easy just to, we can identify what it is, but sometimes we don't connect the faith to what it is.
Jesus just walked up to a fig tree as he was passing along, and as a lesson of faith spoke to that it would never bear again. And sometimes faith isn't used to bring life. Sometimes faith is used to put the devil on the run. And there may be loved ones out there right now and loved ones of ours in this place that we need the enemy to turn loose of their way of thinking
in the same way that they've rejected God time and time again. I don't think I would have ever saw deliverance if somebody didn't pray that I would ever see that I needed to change. So if you know somebody, your loved ones, and you want them to turn, by faith you must speak that they will turn. Speak those things that are not as though they are. I wish my wife, my husband, was closer to God, and I wish I could have them in church with me, and I don't see it yet, God. Somebody's connecting with me right now. But in faith, I believe, God, that I will see them confess and turn to you. God, I'm ill. I'm not well. I don't feel good. But God, in faith, I believe that you're my healer, and I will have the earnest expectation of being whole. If you would speak the word, oh God, touch me. Why am I doing this right now? There's some of us that just need to hear. Sometimes we lose the ability to learn because we're not hearing the proper teaching. Everybody says that you need to pray, but sometimes we just need to hear some wheels turning to understand how it is. Even the disciples came to Christ and said, teach us how to pray. They wanted to know what they could say that would bring them under subjection so that they would have the signs and wonders that followed Christ to be able to handle the ministry. Ministers in here, hear this tonight. I'm reaching out to you, and this word is for you. If we're going to preach with fire, you're going to have to preach with faith. You have no fire without any faith. You have no strong desire to want to continue unless you're being faithful. The Bible says, why would you attempt to pull a mote out of somebody else's eye when you will not remove the beam from your own? How can we preach deliverance unless we believe with all our heart that God is a deliverer? How can we sing about being redeemed unless we've had an experience to know that we've been redeemed? Oh, hallelujah. How can we preach that people can be set free from devils unless we have the faith to come in here, be bold and proud and loud about it, and say, God, I believe that you're a devil chasing God, that you're a devil removing God, that you're a devil delivering God. And when we come in here loud and proud and not ashamed, that's the same faith that caused them to walk down the streets and pick people up by the hand. It wasn't in what they had on, but it was in their faith to believe that God would make them whole. Was it more meaningful to grab a hold of them? Or was it more meaningful for them to have the faith in their heart before they grabbed them? I feel like that sometimes we're so close to breakthroughs. Lately, there's been some singing in here that could have saved the world. And I don't know if anybody else went home the same way I did, but in my heart, I said, God, I know it was good. But there was just something that didn't allow a press to come on through. And I love singing and I love dancing before the Lord. And I'm an ambassador of worship, always will be. I will defend worship until I die. Active, radical worship, I will. That's just me. But I want to remind us tonight that worship has no effect on an unbeliever unless you are walking in faith. And singing, although it's talented and although it sounds pretty, and hallelujah, we can sing ourselves to tears almost, but unless we're coming in determined with faith, it is none effect to bring conviction. You'll bring a goody good feeling inside the heart, and you'll bring a goosebump up their back, and they'll know that something is going on, but they won't realize what it is that needs to change until faith comes alive in your spirit. Faith will take risks
in unexpected times. Faith will cause you to come, as Paul did, from being a murderer to being one of the greatest chancellors of missionary work that we've ever read and known. Coming from hard times, but by faith knowing that he is not the same creature that he was when God gave him the Damascus Road. Hallelujah. I know where my Damascus Road is tonight. Do you know where it was that you felt the first time that your faith came alive? Hallelujah. When the Bible talks about that you left your first love, it's not the fact that you've lost love, but it's the fact that we've lost faith. Faith brought you your relationship with God. Faith brought you every feeling that you've had when you worshiped. Faith brought you every time that you ever amen the preacher. Would I ever thought that from the day I almost died that I would be standing here as an ambassador for Christ? Did I ever think that God would ever put me in a position to help lead in this church? I never expected that. To go back where we were before we closed in the testimony, I didn't see what God had in store. In the first few weeks that I was trying to go to church and get established, there were people around me in appointed times that God gave me. And let me tell you, you're not going to get from sitting in the pew and doubting yourself to the pulpit and evangelizing on your own. There are steps you take. There are things that God teaches you to lay off. There are things that he will teach you to learn from. And as you're tested, he gives you an increase so that you're able to help people in a greater way. God will never raise up a minister that struggles from Monday to Monday believing whether they're able to preach or not. When you have a calling, nobody could ever persuade you that you're not. As interpreted, the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If it's something that you have, it's not something you can turn from. You were brought into the world to do what you do. Are you blessed tonight?